You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
We've got Rose Stewart from Family Planning on the line right now to do some myth busting on cervical cancer. How are you going, Rose?
Hi, I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm good. Firstly, I just want to ask, at what age do people with a uterus need to start getting their smear test done, and how regularly do they need to be retested?
Well, you start having one when you turn 25. This was a change from the recent past when it was 20, but now it's 25, and then you need to have a smear a year later just to confirm the result from the one a year before, and then you have them every 3 years at the moment.
And what kind of symptoms do people need to look out for?
Well, if people are having any unusual bleeding or pain, they should always see a doctor and talk about it. Especially older women, if they're having bleeding in between their periods or bleeding after sex, that can be a sign of a problem.
And we've seen with Kitty Allen yesterday, she's got a few nasty comments. And there was one myth that was being pushed about promiscuity leading to contracting cervical cancer. Is this at all based in fact?
The fact is that most cervical cancers are caused by a human papillomavirus, a particular strain of those viruses. So everybody that's sexually active does get these viruses, but there are particular strains which are more often present in a cervical cancer, and we know that they can contribute to cancer. So that's why the vaccine has been implemented for young people when they're about 11 to prevent them when they pick up these viruses being affected by them. So it is because these viruses are picked up through sexually active genes, that they can be passed through, you know, birth to a baby. But mainly through sexual activity, and sort of the implication is, oh, you know, if you've got this virus, it's like an STI, and you know, you'd be bad. But actually, everybody gets it, and nobody knows they've got it. You know, it's endemic, really, in the whole population of people having sex. So only some people suffer the consequences of cancer, you know, through contracting a particular strain of the virus, and then it being undetected because they're not checked. You know, they don't have smears and get checkups.
Are there any other actions that can increase risk for cervical cancer?
Well, smoking slightly increases risk, so that's just a small additional risk, but smoking is always hard on your body in lots of ways and your immunity, so it's always best not to smoke for a lot of reasons, and this is another reason not to smoke. And then people who've got other illnesses like HIV or AIDS, you know, where their immunity is low, they can be more at risk. But mainly it's the normal picking up of human papillomavirus through normal sexual activity.
And what needs to be done to combat cervical cancer stigmatisation, especially towards Māori?
I think if we think of breast cancer, you know, and how widely that's talked about and promoted and so on, it's all through magazines and, you know, everybody knows about breast cancer, but people don't really talk so much about cervical cancer when, you know, 50% of the population have a uterus and are at risk of getting it. So we just need to talk about it more, and we need to talk about cervical screening and encourage people to have smears and make them normal, you know, and provide opportunities for people when they have a smear to put in their own speculum and bring their own blanket if they want to, you know, come, you know, they can even book a session with a friend and both do it so that they're both doing the same thing together. But people can be very, very sort of whakamara shy about anything down there. So that, I think that's one of the things that's hard for people. If they don't turn up, it's often because they're just too shy.
How do the self-tests work?
Well, that's a whole different thing. So this is where we're gradually changing in New Zealand towards using human papillomavirus testing as the primary testing for prevention of cervical cancer, whereas that is already used within laboratories. So if you have an abnormal smear, they will do an add-on HPV test to see whether you've got the high-risk HPV. So it's already been used in that context, but it needs to be rolled out so that all people, when they're having this kind of sampling, it's done through a swab testing for HPV because that's a reliable marker for cancer risk. Yeah, so that's just something that has to be rolled out through the Ministry of Health. It's quite big because, you know, it changes everything. The program is huge. The cervical screening program is huge. There's masses of information. It all has to be changed and updated. People need to be advised about what's going to happen. The laboratories need to change everything they're doing. And women also need to understand if you take your own swab, you could still have a positive result and you could still end up having to go to the hospital for some treatment. So if you're doing it yourself, you don't need anyone there to explain things to you.
So we're probably still a few years off seeing self-tests rolled out.
I'm not sure how, I don't know what the ministry's timeline is on it, but it's definitely going to happen.
Okay, great. Do you have any questions, Jemima?
No, thank you so much for your time today, Rose. We really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much. Goodbye.
Okay.
Bye.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.